Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 55.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, hey everyone, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 55. I am your host, as always, Brendan Lowe. Thank you so much for being here. So today, in today's episode, I'm going to be going over how to connect odd changes with improv. And it's a really great subject because, you know, you get to that tune that's all over the place, maybe a Wayne Shorter tune, something like that, more modern, and the changes just really have no rhyme or reason. So what do you do? That's exactly what I'm going to be covering in this episode. Now, if you guys are a consistent listener, then you'll have heard last week we were kind of doing a couple things, changes with the practice exercises. I'm always looking to make improvements to make things easier for you guys. So we have a couple things. We had some trouble with the website and the blog page. And so I'm just laughing because of all the URLs and links and stuff I've told you in the past episodes. But I think we finally got it nailed down. So we do have a practice exercise with this, and I'm going to try and put some sort of notation or practice exercise or directed guide to go with all the episodes. If you guys are new, that's what I'm going to do for you. And they're usually going to be maybe an overview of the points, the talking points I've said, so you don't have to kind of go back through the episode. You can have it laid out in front of you for the piano, or it's going to be actual music notation, actual practice exercises. And today we have actual practice exercises. So this is the document right here. Okay, I'm going to be reading off this just so I can demonstrate the exercises. But this is how you get the freebie with this episode. There's two ways to do it, and we've added kind of a nifty service now. So if you are in your car, if you're at the gym, I listen to podcasts all the time while I'm driving, right, for information. And, you know, when people give things away on podcasts, I'm like, okay, I'll do that later. I never do it later, right? Who does it later? You know, honestly. So I'll forget, and that's it. And then I'll come back on it like 2 months later and be like, oh man, like why didn't I have this earlier? So if you want the practice exercise, you can text, okay, to the number 44222. Okay, no spaces or anything, just the number. Text, you input the number in your phone, 44222. You're going to text the word download 55, all right? And once you do that, it will ask you for your email. You get a short little message saying, hey, from JPS. And you'll simply reply with the email address that you want the practice materials sent to. So if you're in the car listening to this and you're like, oh, I really want those practice materials for that particular episode because I'm working on that. Well, you are in luck, my friend. You can now do that, right? If you're on the treadmill or the elliptical, whatever you're doing. I have no idea who. Sorry. This is a genuine laugh for everyone. Because I just imagined, like, I was just like, I want to meet the person who's listening to this Jazz Piano School podcast at the gym, because there probably is no one listening to this podcast at the gym. But wherever you're listening, okay? So you can now try this cool little nifty thing out. Text 44222. Text the number 44222. You text the word, okay, in the input field, text download 55. It will ask you for your email address. Just send back your email address. Don't put in any more like words or anything like that. Just send back your email address, and you will get the freebie notation in your inbox. All right, that is one way to do it. I'm going to shorten this up. You can also now go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast55. And again, there was some confusion last week because I was like, podcast, add a forward slash, go to this. All right, we don't need to do that anymore. Just to go and get the freebie, you can go to Jazz Piano School, the practice materials. You can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast55, and you can tell us where to send that practice material to. Now, the video for this episode is on YouTube, and it's also in the podcast section of our website. So we're affiliated with jazzpianoschool.com. This is a course that I've built, and we're adding some specialty courses as well. And obviously you can go and get more information about becoming a member and signing up. But I built this course to develop a step-by-step curriculum, full curriculum that someone can walk through, right, without having to guess what to practice, okay? So you have all your practice materials there. It's not a library, right? I'm actually giving you a roadmap to follow so you have direction and organization, because when I was starting my career, I simply didn't feel like I was being led down a path. I felt like I was left to guessing a lot of the information, kind of searching on my own, and it took years and years and years. Now, again, I'm not saying there's no room in jazz, obviously, for experimentation and guessing, but obviously you need to develop a little foundation before you start doing that. So let's get into the episode. In this episode, I'm going to be going over how to connect random changes. So for example, if I play an A flat major 7 chord, right, and then go to a D flat minor major, I'm kind of voicing these. I should play root positions here for you. Right, and then maybe, let me see, A dominant 7 chord, right? Now, I kind of randomly pick these. Obviously, maybe theoretically, you could make up some sort of configured way that these changes attach or connect to each other, theoretically. I have no idea. I randomly pick these out of my pocket, right? So a lot of the times, you might see random chords. I mean, in jazz tunes, especially if you're playing originals, right, you're not always gonna see a, you know, very popular theoretical based, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, backup or proof for chords being in an order. You know, for the tunes I write, you know, let's say I like the A flat major going to D flat minor 7, and then to the dominant, or maybe an A sus. I mean, those are nice. That's a nice progression there. So if I wanted to write that and I gave it to someone to solo over, you know, how are you going to solo over that? All right, so that's what I'm gonna be covering today. Now, there's three things, exercises that you're gonna wanna work on. And to start, I want to simply start with the progression of a 5-1 progression. All right, just to talk about connections in general. And this is more for beginners, but for the advanced players, it's gonna help and lead to more advanced improv. So when we connect two chords, what is exactly the sound that makes the connection? All right, I'm asking you guys this question. You can think about it in your head. When we connect two chords, what sound or what do we do to give the ear or the listener or ourselves the kind of satisfaction that we've actually connected a chord? Now, if you're wondering about that, it's has to do with the chord tones and how the chord tones fall. So if I'm going to connect a 5-1 in C, that would be a G7 chord, going to C major, right? When the chord changes on the downbeat of 1, the chord sound in connection is going to be emphasized. It's going to be reiterated. It's going to be really thoroughly introduced and, you know, heard in the ear by landing on chord tones right when that chord changes, so on the downbeat. All right, so if I'm playing G, you know, my regular G mixolydian here, I landed on that E on the downbeat, right? Now the resolution of the notes down to a major chord tone in that chord allowed my ear, or, you know, in everyone else's ear, to hear that resolution to that change. All right, now I know that's a basic principle, but it's very, very important for understanding how to connect changes, okay? So that's the first thing I want to talk about. Now, any note, okay, with that principle in mind, any note played previously or before the chord tone you land on does not matter. I bet you're like, Brendan, what are you talking about right now? What do you mean it doesn't matter? You can play any note as long as you resolve to a chord tone of that chord. It doesn't matter because your ear is going to hear the resolution to the chord tone. So from my G7, right? I played an F there to resolve to the chord tone. I'm trying to think of that first line I played. Now, these are all standard, actually, bebop approaches. I'm not getting too out yet, okay? So let me try some more out stuff. And again, nothing really matters until I resolve to that chord tone. I can play anything I want, all right? Anything. And this is why it's funny when people are like, oh, well, I'm afraid to make mistakes. Afraid and a fear through improvisation is normal. But I really want you guys to understand that using this principle, anything's possible as long as you practice your resolutions to chord tones. Like if you know chord tones and you can resolve to the chord tones, you can pretty much play anything and get away with it, right? So here's my G7 again. That was very out. I'm playing random notes right now. And again, to kind of reiterate or emphasize the change, all I need to do, just landing on a chord tone is, you know, slightly sufficient, okay? It's gonna work. But if you continue to play within that chord or that mode, it's really gonna emphasize the change, and it's gonna completely wipe out everything that you've just played. So you're going from a moment of immense tension to a moment of immense release because you're playing all diatonically within that chord, right? Right? Do you see so much release when I just use chord tones over the C major 7? Right? So I'm playing random notes over the G7 and then giving just a little bit of diatonic within that C major. And again, if you're not really sure about the modes or anything like that, just target the chord tones. You can just use the chord tones when you get to the resolution. You can go from E to G, B, right? Just outline the chord, or even just stop on that one chord tone. That one chord tone will still be sufficient. Right? See? So again, that's my first point, okay? Now obviously during your playing and your practice, okay, you're not gonna be playing random notes. There's obviously ways to make your improv sound better, but I'm not explaining that today, okay? So the first thing you're gonna wanna do is practice your 5-to-1 resolution, because you're gonna see your 5-to-1 resolution a lot in jazz standards and even in originals. So the best thing to do is practice the progressions that you're going to see a lot, and that is the 5-to-1 progression. So when I practice my 5-to-1 progressions, I simply make up a line and resolve it to a chord tone, okay? Okay, that's it. That's all I want to do. And you can put a metronome on, you can put a backing track on, you know, you put your iReal Pro track on, just have it go from the G7 to the C major 7 in time, right? And you can just keep looping that 20 times, okay? You can start to use your rootless voicings here. This is the first practice exercise, by the way, in the freebie, and I have all your 5-to-1 progressions laid out for you so that you can read them and practice them. But here we go. I'm just gonna kind of keep looping this. One, two, one, two, three, four. I'm sorry, I was playing half time. One, two, one, two, three, four. Okay, that's it. That's all you're doing. Then you move to your next progression, C7. Right? And that's it. You just keep, and again, you don't have to practice that fast. Always do it slowly. You don't even need to use your left hand, right? If you have that bass player, the track going with you, just do it like this. Picture my bass, my left hand as the bass now on a backing track on iReal Pro. One, two, three, four. Right? You can do it that slowly, and this is how you're going to start to build your connection process and improve your improv. Now, if you're more of an advanced player, you can play out. You know, you can use some techniques, your altered scale, your half hole, whatever, use some extensions, whatever your capabilities are, you can do this, right? Yeah. Whatever you got in your repertoire, your tools, your bag of tools, use that, all right? Now, one thing I wanted to kind of just point out quickly, the resolutions I'm making right now are closest to the chord tone that I'm at. And usually, okay, usually that sounds best, right? So if I'm playing... Now, when I get to this F on beat four, excuse me, the and of four, I have two chord tones I can go to, E or G. Now, can I jump to a chord tone because in my mind I know that better? Sure, right? Now, bigger jumps like I just did, it's going to sound weird. It's going to sound like a hiccup motion. So I would urge you or recommend to try and resolve as close to the last note that you are on as possible. And if it takes you slowing down to do this, then that's all you got to do. All right? On to the next exercise. So here we are at two fives. Okay? Now, two fives obviously are a really important progression. Now, we're going to start to up the capabilities and advancement of the exercise now. So with our 2-5, just to stay in this register of my tenths, I'm using tenths here in the piano so I can kind of display the harmonies a little bit more realistically or voice them better for you guys. This 2-5, G minor to C7. Right? So again, since I was on that G there, on the end of 4, I needed to jump. Right, because I wasn't on a surrounding chord tone. I could have done that, okay? So again, we're approaching our two fives now, not two minor to the five dominant, okay? So we have a minor chord going to the dominant. We're not using the ones yet. You'll honestly see more five to ones and two fives than full, complete 2-5 ones and tunes, and that's why I've listed it. If you want to go a step further and do your 2-5 ones, by all means, go for it. So we're going to take on the same practice. One, two, G, same 2-5. One, two, three, four. Okay, so... I mean, these are small approaches that I practiced a lot to get me to chord tones. That's why I'm able to do this better. But again, for you, very, very simple. One, two, or whoever's playing. One, two, three, four. Right? And again, depending upon your capabilities, you can do anything. Practice. All you're doing is practicing your resolution to that chord tone. That's it, right? Again, you could play more out if you want. All you're doing is practicing the resolution to that chord tone. Now, the next thing and the fun thing you can do with two fives is starts to mix and match them. So you can go from, in the worksheet, just pick two, right? And I've listed them in a circle of four. So from your G minor to your C7, you'd go to your next key, which would be B flat. So you can play them in the circle of fours if you want like that. So, and we would just keep going. So one, two, one, two, three, four. Right, so you just keep connecting them. You can keep going with the exercise, go all the way through the circle of fourths, all right? Then you can start to mix and match them, all right? So you can do G minor 7 going to E7. Just pick two random 2-5s. Go to B minor 7 to E7, right? So I'll do G minor, C7, B minor, E7. Right? And that's it. I just connected both of them, okay? And again, there's kind of two subsets, actually, that I didn't really write down, but hopefully you can hear them and just practice them. You can practice, right? For Benny Green is just a master of connections. If you guys have listened to his Bud Powell, obviously, some of these bebop players, they're playing strings of continuous eighth notes that are connecting so perfectly on downbeats, all these chord tones. They have delayed resolutions, anticipated resolutions that come before, right? All these different types, but everything is worked out. So you can practice with gaps or rhythmic gaps like I'm doing. So I'm taking some rhythmic leeway in order to help myself get to a chord tone, right? I have rest in there. One, two, one, two, three, four. Right, so I went da 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 da. It's not a string of continuous eighth notes, but that's your next challenge. So you can try and put strings of continuous eighth notes together with the goal of making sure you consistently land on that chord tone when the chord changes. Now again, you can use the principle of playing within the mode or playing outside the key, playing random notes. But again, this goal is to kind of get you to keep playing continuously so that you don't pull back or you say, oh, I gotta stop playing, you know, because the only way you're gonna break through that is to just keep playing. You gotta force yourself to keep playing continuous eighth notes in order to build these long strings of lines, right? So here we go. One, I'll do it slowly at first. One, same progression. One, two, one, two, three, four. So then, right there, I landed on the 9, okay, on that B-flat 7. Now, there's certain more advanced exercises that, like I was saying, there's delayed resolutions that a lot of the, you know, people you hear use. I use a lot too, like when you're in more advanced players. So if I land on a 9 on a downbeat, I can still make that sound good because I can continue my resolution and resolve it further on, right? So if I land on that 9 on the downbeat, let me see, I don't remember what I played exactly. Okay, so you hear that? So when I land on that 9, I can simply add that next approach in to delay my resolution so it doesn't stop me up, or you still hear the resolution, but it's just done a beat later. But that's more of an advanced approach. And this is that kind of thing is what really helps you connect everything together, because no matter what I land on at this point in my career, in my playing, I know I can always resolve it somehow. And this, that kind of progress is what really allows you to just I can continuously play forever, because no matter what note I land on, I always have a note I can resolve to, whether it's later on or if I resolve early or if I resolve right on the beat, it doesn't matter, okay? So anyway, we're connecting. Now, really great exercise I recommend too as well is obviously the mix and match. So pick 2 2-5s. You can pick 3 2-5s and string those together. Pick as many as you want, all right? Is going up, down, and half steps, all right? Picking an interval to practice your 2-5s in, okay? So you can pick half steps, okay? And again, you can do them in different sets of beats too. So the way I've listed out on the freebie for you is a bar each, but you can do 2 beats each. So 1, 2, 3, 4. The resolution of the 2 to the 5 is 2 beats. So it's up to you, right? Really kind of play games with this. If you the full bar resolution is actually harder because you're kind of working with more real estate, right? I forgot what key we're going to. Okay, you see that? And then you can pick different intervals. So I was going up by half steps. Obviously, you can go by down by half steps. Okay, go up and down by half steps. You can go up by minor thirds. So you can go F minor 7 from your first chord. F minor 7, B flat 7. Go up to A flat minor 7, D flat 7, B minor 7, E 7. Again, guys, this is for much more advanced players, right? Oh, where am I? So even I had to think about it for a second, right? You can go up by major thirds, right? Okay, and just keep going, you know, play around with it. All right, so that's our next exercise, our 2-5. Now, finally, okay, these kind of lead you up to the last exercise, which is the random mix and match exercise. So, on this part of the freebie, you have random chords. I just put a whole bunch of random chords in there for you guys to work through. Now, you can work through the first two. You can work through the first four bars, through the first eight bars. And just to give you a sense of what the chords are, I mean, the first four bars are C minor 7, G flat 7, A major 7, B minor 7. Now, again, you can kind of come up with a way to string those together, like, oh, the tritone of this, blah, blah, blah. But that's not really the point of the exercise here. The point is just to kind of pretend like they're isolated chords and you're trying to connect them together, all right? So again, C minor 7, G flat 7, A major 7, B minor 7. So you're going through the same thing, take it slowly, right? If you just want to use your track, you can. If you're more an advanced solo piano player, you can use bass notes with some chords. So 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Right, something like that, or you can just comp left-hand chords. Whatever you want to do, all right, it's up to you. Now the fun thing here, this is kind of a fun chart, it's like bingo, all right? So you don't have to, this chart is gonna give you many, many different options to work on your connection of random chords, because you don't have to read this chart from left to right. You can connect the chords down the column if you want, right? So I'm going to read all the first measures of each line. So that gives me C minor 7, D flat major 7, A flat minor 7, and it keeps going. Okay, so it's giving me a different set of possibilities. And so what I used to recommend, guys, to people kind of with this exercise was flashcards. And I like to use flashcards a lot, but I wanted to try and do as least work for you so you guys didn't have to go out and buy index cards, write all these random chords on it, and then you can kind of pick the flashcards, you know. It is a good thing, though. Eventually, we'll create an app for that from Jazz Piano School, but not yet. So you can go down the column. You can go across. You know, you can make an X. You can go backwards if you want. However you want to combine these chords, go for it. It's completely up to you. And again, our main goal here is to connect and land on a chord tone of the next change. So just take what your ability is. Again, it doesn't really matter what you play in the middle. So don't worry about what you're playing, right? I really can't emphasize this enough because you're only focusing on the change. You can work on the middle content or meat. But again, it doesn't really matter because if you have that resolution, your playing's already going to be that much better and you're going to be able to play through a lot of different things, okay? So here's the second line. It's D flat major to G7, A7, F sharp minor 7. Now again, making this sound decent is pretty difficult because these are just random chords I picked out. Okay, so here we go. I'll try it one more time for you guys and then we'll wrap it up. One, two, one. I'll just play root position chords here. One, two, one, two, three, four. All right, so that didn't sound too bad. And that's all you're doing, all right? So when you see these random chords in tunes now, or through originals, or just chords, even if your theory knowledge isn't that great, and you don't really know what to play, you can still make the connection, which is really all that matters. I mean, when you make that connection, you're hearing the resolution and you're emphasizing the downbeat with a chord tone. That is really the first step to great sounding improv and creating really nice melodies within your improv, because it sounds as if you're playing through the chords. A lot of the times, and the students or people like that, or even myself, when I was growing up, I was just like, wow, why doesn't my improv sound good? Like, people ask themselves this all the time, and you may have done that. And let me demonstrate before we wrap up what it sounds like if I'm not landing on chord tones on the downbeat or resolving at all, right? If I'm not resolving to a chord tone, even if I delay my resolution, it sounds very, very strange. Okay, here we go. One, I'll just play some random 2/5s. Here we go. One, two, one, two, three, four. I'm resolving on by even, it's just ingrained in me. Here we go. Let me see, I'll do G minor, C7, A minor, D7. I'll do a 2-5-3-6. 1, 2, 1, 2. Hopefully I can do this. Ah. I can't even do it. I'm trying to land on non-chord tone. It's like playing all the notes in the middle, right? So you're kind of using all your extensions. So you can kind of get a sense for what I'm doing right now, and it's like that way of playing is so not in my, you know, my hands that I can't even do it. But anyway, you kind of got the picture. So hopefully this helped, guys. This was a nice short episode that I think will really, really be beneficial for all of you guys. Go and get that freebie. Again, you can text 44222. Text the word download 55. It will get automatically sent to your email that you reply with, or you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast55. And if you've never been to the site, feel free to go to the site, check it out. There's a lot of free resources on there. All the podcasts are on there, the blog. We just had a fantastic release of a blog post by Joe Gilman. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal pianist who played with Bobby Hutcherson forever. And he learned so much from him. I urge you guys to go check that out on the blog. I had Joe write that for us specifically about his experiences with Bobby Hutcherson, because he just passed, and it was very, you know, heartwarming and kind of, you know, a memory, you know, to let his memory live on for Joe, especially because in a lot of the videos you see, in a long time, Joe was the main pianist for Bobby Hutcherson, and he was playing with him. So go check that blog post out. But again, guys, thank you so much for being here and listening to the podcast. If you could go and rate it, I'd appreciate it. I stopped saying my goal personally, but I'm trying to get to 100 five-star ratings before I get to my 100th episode. So we have gotten a lot more. I think we're at like 35 now. So thank you to all the people who've done that. I really, really appreciate it. And by going and rating the podcast, you're actually helping to spread this podcast to other people, because it becomes more popular within iTunes. So you can actually help out that way, and I appreciate it. I'm starving, so I'm going to go get some food. I'm very hungry. And I will see you in the next episode. We had a request this week from one of our Jazz Piano School members that he wanted me to post an episode on stride or Latin jazz. So I think next week's episode is going to be on one of those. That should be a lot of fun. Latin's pretty easy. Stride is, well, you know, to say the least, not easy at all. So I'm going to go grab some food. I hope you guys had fun with this one. I know I did. And I'll talk to you later. Until next time, happy practicing.